This week's podcast is brought to you by Shara on the New York Stock Exchange. Also, Al Starnes and Coldwell Banker Realty.
Welcome to Rocket Football Postgame Show. Coach Thompson, Crittenden County's on a roll right now, and I could see it on your face after the game. You feel pretty good about the way we're playing after we beat Russellville 41-3 in the second round of playoffs.
Yes, sir. The kids really came out and played a lot better than they did the first time around, where we made a lot of mistakes that they were able to capitalize on. When you look, we really limited those mistakes on Friday, and we still made a few mistakes that allowed them to get 3 points on the board, and we probably left two touchdowns out on the field as well. So, you know, we're getting better. We didn't let our mistakes cost us or put us in a tight situation, but, you know, we still have some things to improve on going in this week.
Well, we're going to be on the road this week after being here at home for three in a row, and it's been pretty nice. We'll go on the road, and we'll talk about that on the coach's show on YouTube this week. But for now, let's talk about some of these guys and the great performance they had against Russellville. Defensively, I don't know how you pick a guy, one guy out of this defensive performance, but when you can hold Russellville to 8 yards rushing, you've done a day's work.
Yeah, for sure.
And a lot of guys played well. You know, Lathan Easley played another great game. Caden McAllister had a great game. Braxton Winders had a great game. And other, as is, did others. But Dylan Yates with four solos, four assists, a sack, and a tackle for loss, he's your player of the game.
Yeah, a lot of it with Yates is his passion for the game. You know, he just goes out no matter what the situation is, and he plays with that same passion all the time. I'm not saying the other guys don't, but, you know, that's what allows him to be successful all the time.
And he plays both sides of the
ball. He's on the field a lot. You know, it's just one of those things where our defense is pretty good, and every week it could be any number of guys. Sure. And this week, Coach Courtney felt like he was the one, you know, and really and truly, he didn't start this week. We started off with Turley and McGowan on the field first, so technically he didn't start and still goes out and has a performance like that.
And McGowan's another one I should have mentioned. Yeah. Three solos, three assists, and a sack. Yeah. He just gets better and better.
Yeah, we're pretty solid on each level of the defense, especially when they're playing together and in tune like that. You know, they get the game plan and they go out and typically do a good job of implementing it, and when they do, this is the result.
I've said this before, but when you take a football team and remove the guy who you call the heart and soul of the defense, a guy who's the most recognizable defender on the field, maybe in all of West Kentucky in Class A, Tyler Boone, you take him out of the equation and you still play this well.
Yeah, it's about the continuity that the defense has, you know, as a whole, and the mentality of the next man up, you know. Moving in, having people fill that role, that's where Caden's moved in, and we've moved Hunter Jones into the box as well. And just for those guys to stand in and not miss a beat, you know, it just shows how prepared they've been from Coach Courtney. He does a good job.
The second half was the Xander Tabor show, and he certainly showed that. He had 39 yards at the half. And he finished with 139. He scored three touchdowns on the ground in the second half. And he took over the ball game.
Yeah, I knew Russellville would come in this time around and really try to take him away, really try to take our two-back game away. I didn't know how they would do it. And they really and truly went with the same game plan that they did the first time. They just they executed it better this go-around. So I knew pretty quick that we were going to go to throwing the ball and try to take advantage of some things that they did the first time around if that was the case. And they did that. So, you know, it's funny to watch Xander in the first half when he was getting his touches, you know, getting a little frustrated because of the things they were doing was really taking it away. I told him going in at half right there, you know, I said, look, bud. You're about to put this game away. It's going to be okay. And he trusted in me. He came out, and he was ready to answer the call.
He'll pout a little bit if he don't get the ball, won't he? Because he wants the ball.
It wasn't even necessarily not having the ball. Uh-huh. It was more that he was getting the ball at times, and it just wasn't there like it was the first time. And he just doesn't understand because they were doing the same thing. Like I said, they executed it a little better the second go-around. And what they're doing is what you should do for what we were trying to get done. But once we softened them up with the passing game, we were really able to open up some lanes. It wasn't anything that we weren't doing offensively. It was just what they were doing defensively. And he was able to hit a few runs early with some little changes we had implemented to be able to run the ball at all in the first half. But once we loosened them up and made them respect our passing game, it was over from there.
Well, 27 carries again, and that puts him way up there. Andy had sent me some information about I don't think we've ever had a back with more than 25 carries this many times in a season. I can't remember how many it was off the top of my head. But, you know, he's a workhorse.
Yeah, he is. He's a very patient runner, and he can handle a lot of carries.
Well, when you were snapping to him in the Wildcat, he would sit back there and kind of shuffle step a time or two and let that hole open up and then go.
Yep, and that's what makes him so special is his patience. Even just in our regular offense, when he takes a handoff, you'll see him slow play stuff and you wonder what he's doing, but he's setting up holes, letting them develop and letting the linemen really do their job, and then he hits them. That's why I said in the past he's very Le'Veon Bell. Like, as far as comparing him to a running back that is well-known in the NFL, such as Le'Veon. But the way he just slow plays and then hits holes and accelerates through them is what makes him effective. And then he's so big, once he gets on secondary defenders, it's hard to bring him down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, he was a player of the game. And like I said, Luke Kreider could have very well been a player game himself. Great game for Luke, 11 of 15. One interception, 126 yards, and that was all first half. And you talk about patience and composure and poise. And I tell you, man, the line blocked well for him. He had all the time in the world, and he did just what a quarterback's supposed to do.
Yeah, he just spreads it around. He's really good at understanding what the defense is giving him pre-snap, and then he'll take a drop and he'll look you off and then know where he's going. He's really good at that. What I saw that he's decent at now from Friday is when he sees that pre-snap and then they take what he saw pre-snap, he doesn't panic.
Mm-hmm.
He just stays in the pocket and moves his eyes around. And when he's able to stand there and look, he's going to find the open receiver. He showed that on Friday. He'll have a little bit of a test coming up this week because those guys like to bring a little bit of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Our offensive line has been good at keeping our quarterback clean all year. So he'll be able to stand in there and do what he does.
Yeah, I wrote that this week because I talked to Luke there after he finished up. I said, have you, other than the in the game against Russell, have you been hit at all? He said, yeah, I got hit a few times, but never with the ball in my hand. You know?
Yeah, after he threw that pick the other night, one of the defensive linemen really took advantage of that opportunity to put their hands on him, blocked him a little excessively, but he got up, came off field. His eyes were a little big. I guess he was concerned with what Coach Thompson was going to say next, but you're all right. Move on.
All right. Lineman of the week, Ian Ellington. Yeah.
Graded out perfect again.
Perfect. 100%. Yeah. Tell us how you grade those guys out.
They did their job or they didn't. It's a plus or a minus. Based off how many plays they go. And doing your job, you may mess up. There's going to be times you mess up. You don't do 100% what you should have, because up front there's a lot of blocking paths and rules and defenses move, and they did something differently than what you expected. There's a lot to that, but if you do it 100 miles an hour and you go get somebody, you're doing your job. That's your job. Mm-hmm. And he does that every play. Whenever he's on the field, he's 100 miles an hour. And that's why it's so hard to dethrone him when he's a player of the from being a player of the game.
And, you know, Ian plays the game. He doesn't look like sometimes he's playing with a whole lot of emotion, but he's full of emotion.
He's very full of emotion. It's there. He gets to hide behind that helmet, so you don't know how much emotion is there. But he's a very emotional kid, but he uses those emotions and that energy in the game of football and really pushes through it and overwhelms people, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dillon Yates, man. You talk about guys playing with an emotion right now.
Yeah, he's fired up.
Pre-game, post-game.
Yeah, he's fired up about everything. And I love it. I like that. He's not worried about what anybody thinks about him. He loves the game of football.
Yeah, he's free spirit, man. He gets fired up when the wind blows.
Yeah. Whatever it takes, as long as he's playing like he's playing.
Hey, talk about a guy that's fired up, Trace Darrington on special teams, man. He's getting down the field. He's turned himself into a missile.
Yeah, he's really taking pride in being that guy that's going to fly down the field. We have, with our special teams, we have specific guys put in there. Just their one job is to fly down the field and turn it. And that's his job. And the thing that he's done more than just doing his job is now he's making plays in it. So he's flying down the field and turning it and also making the play. So he's doing more than we're asking him to do. And that's why he's the special teams player of the week this week. You know, for him to go down and be that guy who's strictly just supposed to not let the ball carrier be able to go straight, use speed, and then on top of that start making tackles. He had 3 solo tackles all on special teams this week. You know, that's impressive. You know, you need guys like that are going to go out there and take pride in anything you ask them to do, and he does that. And really and truly, Trace is a guy that, you know, is one snap away from being on the field every week. So, you know, he just continues to improve. You know, that year off as a freshman kind of put him behind early, but, you know, he's starting to show that he is a football player and it's starting to come out.
Travis Guest had some good tackle there on the Javari Gamble, which is actually the play the kid got hurt on. And a lot of people have asked me about him. I saw him come back to the field at the end. Have you had any update on him?
I haven't had an update. I talked to one of the coaches this weekend, but he didn't mention it. The kid was fine when he went through shaking hands.
Just kind of knocked him out.
I didn't see that he was out. And watching the play on film, it doesn't even look like his head hits the ground. But that doesn't mean it didn't. The officials just said he was out. All right.
And that's because
I do too. He was motionless. And then the way he reacted when I was over there, when he was coherent, was almost like he was startled or scared, like you would be if you were out and then woke up and was okay. But he was okay. He knew where he was. He knew what was going on. So we just want to make sure that we continue to check in on him and make sure that everything's all well with him.
Yeah, I always hate to see him bring a stretcher out on the field.
Well, I don't think he could have walked off the
field.
He was okay, but I don't think he could have walked off the field. He was a little woozy.
Big week this week as we prepare to go to Kentucky Country Day, the top team in Class A and in indeed all of Kentucky football, if you believe the RPI. And it's going to be an interesting week. I want to tell you one thing you start preparing for. There will be pre-sale tickets here this week. We'll have them on sale at the Crittenden Press. I assume you're going to have them for sale out here at the school somewhere. And there'll be $6 if you buy them in advance. If you wait and pay at the gate, it'll be $8. So get your tickets in advance. Anything else about this week, Coach?
Come and support.
Yeah, we need to take everybody up
to what do y'all say? Eastbound and down.
Eastbound and down, baby. Here we go. All right, we're going to Louisville this week. We'll see you later on the Coach's Show Thursday.